where we stay at home and we read comics. Not DC Comics. It could be DC Comics. It could be Marvel. Could be indie, boom, Dark Horse. We're just talking comics because when you're at the stage that we are in life, hey, dude, there's no more new comic book day. That was depressing. I didn't even know what to do. This is the first Wednesday that, you know, there, I haven't read a new comic book since like 2005. So it's a little weird, but yeah, I'm Mark.
It was a little weird.
It was weird.
It was definitely a little weird. I have been digging deep into the Marvel Unlimited app, the DC Universe app, and I have been doing a lot of indie purchases. Specifically, what we're going to be talking about today, I bought the first, let's see how many I have here. I think it's the first five. Yeah, I have all five, the first five volumes of The Walking Dead.
Nice. Do you have Comixology, like Unlimited?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't. Now, the only reason why...
But isn't that included with Amazon Prime?
Well, that's the thing. We canceled our Amazon Prime a while ago.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Now, my family members that live with us, they have Amazon Prime. And I was like, I don't want to ask for that one. Now, what we did, you know, when... After we got like so many services, I was talking to my stepdad and I was like, "Hey, if you give us the Netflix account, we'll give you the Disney Plus." And he's like, "Okay." And then I was like, "Hey, you know what? I'm not gonna ask for it now because there's no shows for me to watch as of right now. But I'll go ahead and give you the Hulu account, and when I'm ready, I'll get the Amazon account to watch Jack Ryan. Now Jack Ryan has come out." And we are under quarantine, so I probably should ask for that. You know,
you should, yeah. Have you seen season one, or are you?
I have seen season one. Season one was really good.
I haven't seen season two. I mean, I have it. I mean, I should, but I haven't yet. I've been kind of like going crazy with all these like classic sports games.
Uh huh. Yeah, well, I was like, going to ask, other than you know, because you weren't here last week for the unfortunate family emergency that you had. But other than that, what have you been doing with this whole quarantine time? I know you still have to work. You have technically,
yeah. I mean, I work from home. So yeah, since I teach English to foreign students, for me there's nothing has really changed for me work wise. If anything, I'm working more, so I'm just able to make more. In that regards, at least, like, you know, selfishly, like, family-wise, because I know a lot of people are hurting, you know, yes, we've been blessed that part has been good. But besides that, I mean, from being in Ohio, being in a hotel, and you can't leave because Ohio is, like, state lockdown. Like, you can't leave the house.
Really?
So you can't even go to a grocery store. I mean, you can't go to a park, like you mentioned to me off air.
Yeah.
Just to not even getting out of the car. You stayed in the car just to have lunch.
Yeah.
But like you can't do that in Ohio. So it's one of those things that like we would be going to a grocery store and there's like three or four cops there because they want to make sure you're actually really buying food if that's the reason why you're out.
See, like as scary as that sounds, I would really hope that, you know, more cities and states would do that. Because just in our small little thing, because we have been staying home, like we are going stir crazy. We have been staying home and, you know, it was just one of those impulses where me and my wife were like, man, I could go for a really good burger and we don't have any meat to make burgers. Let's order one online and let's go pick it up.
Yeah.
On our way to go pick up the burger, there were so many people on the highway. So many people. And our city.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like, Ohio was a ghost town. Charlotte, I'm like, I feel like nobody knows what's going on because there's a lot of people out here. So it's, you know, you just got to choose your battle. So, I mean, just be trying to be safe. And now, you know, just home and here, you know, happy to hook up with you and, you know, do the show and kind of just get my mind off everything that's been going on the past couple of weeks. But it's good.
Yeah, have a little bit of normalcy. But yeah, we thought we were going to get new books. You know, there was this small inkling of possibly getting new books, but, you know, DC last minute decided to change their plans. It looks like they're still going to be going digital, but they are going to go digital at the end of the month. So, technically, they're losing, I believe, like a whole month. Because March, they did fine with. They were able to ship everything in March. But April, they have officially decided to lose out on the printing and publishing thing for now. And they're just going to go digital. Marvel has, you know, done the same. Every other publisher has done the same. But other than that, you know, we know that there was the Batman Adventures book. I read it. It reads just like the animated series, but it wasn't anything too special, to be completely honest. So
yeah, oh, that's one of the things. When I read that book, like, I feel like I'm in a safe space. I mean, I feel like with our listeners and stuff like that, we don't have any, you know, hooligans that just suck. Yeah. I don't even remember if I ever seen the animated series.
No, I'm joking.
I mean, I remember as a kid, I watched like the Batman Superman adventures.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I don't know. Maybe I have seen the animated series, but if I did, I wouldn't know if it was that one or if it was, because I let me say this. I haven't, as an adult, revisited those things. So I don't know anything about it. I don't remember.
I haven't finished the series, like, at all, I don't think. I think I've just watched random episodes whenever I was a kid, but I haven't seen it from start to finish. That's something that I want to do for 2020. It was on my, like, to-watch list for 2020. And I will admit, you know, with this whole quarantine time, I have not been watching much of anything. I've been recording a whole bunch for my podcast. But other than that, I've just been, you know,
and what is your podcast, Clay?
My podcast is Fanboy Comics, you know, the Fanboy Comics podcast. That's what mine is.
Yeah, so you just plug it now while people are still listening.
And I've been recording things about the Marvel Unlimited app, DC Universe app. I did two live commentaries, which were very different, but I wanted to give it a try. You know,
How much is the Marvel Unlimited app?
Marvel
that might,
Unlimited.
That might be something where if we wanted to touch on some Marvel stuff.
I don't have my phone is right here. I believe it's like $9.99 or something like that. It's a lot more than you would think, but it has a lot of content. Like, a lot of content.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, but when they say 6 months back, how back does it go?
You can pick up the first appearance of Spider-Man.
Oh, so it's got, like, their entire library.
Their entire library up to 6 months ago.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And from the looks of it, so what I ended up doing, and, you know, whoever wants to do this, like, you know, it's a lot easier for me, not necessarily something you have to do, but I integrated the Marvel Unlimited app through my phone bill. So, on the App Store, basically, you can give an option to pay for it via your bank account or directly to your phone bill. And with the extra charges here, I can look it up right here. And it is Marvel. Oh, nope. Wait, hold on. Plans, equipment, services. There we go.
Well, while you're looking at that, there was something, because there was a book that I wanted to get, at least digitally, because it's going to be tough for me to get it, which was actually the book that Terrence, TJ Future CPA on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
The Resistance. He kind of activated that, seeing that the book was from JMS, John Michael Straczynski. I'm actually... Wait, it's not John. Is it Jay? Jay Michael. I don't know. I always remember him as JMS. Either way, he kind of got me into that mood where I'm like, oh, man, you know what? I recently, when I was up there in Ohio, I read, like, the Matt Fraction Invincible Iron Man run, which I thoroughly enjoyed. So it's kind of made me want to get back, because right now what I'm doing with my DC reading is I'm actually going back to when I first got into comics, because I kind of want to just revisit everything I saw, like as a, you know, as a new reader, not knowing what was going on and stuff like that, and just remembering how great everything was, which was at the Infinite Crisis time. So that's actually what I'm doing, but I kind of want to do the same thing with Marvel. And my jumping into Marvel was that Civil War time, JMS doing Thor, I believe.
I have been wanting to jump into Thor. Now, it did say here on my T-Mobile bill that it is $9.99, and then they add like a small little like service tax, which is 77 cents. So $10. Let's just say $10 or $11 for the app. Not too crazy, but it does have their entire library. Right now, I have been reading Brubaker's Daredevil run. I have been reading Zeb Wells on Avenging Spider-Man. And I've also been reading Brubaker's X-Men Deadly Genesis.
Okay.
Those are the three books that I've been reading on the Marvel Unlimited app. Deadly Genesis is almost done for me, so I am going to pick up another book, and that'll probably be Thor. Just because I have been interested in
Donny Which Cates. Thor? Well, oh, like Jason Aaron?
Well, I wanted to, you know, read classic Thor, being JMS, and then from there, jumping on to Jason Aaron. So
I love it, man. Like what JMS did, and going into like the events into Siege, I really liked it. I mean, you get more context with Siege if you followed. Because the thing I liked about Thor at that time, that it felt, although it was connected with everything, it felt standalone.
Uh-huh.
And things started kind of falling apart when Marvel was trying to force JMS to integrate his very popular run into what Norman Osborn, kind of like what Bendis was doing at that time during The Dark Reign. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, you know, just trying to integrate everything. And I think then he decided he didn't want to do it, so he just left the book.
Yeah.
Which was a bummer, because I loved it. Like, he is pretty much like what cemented my love for Thor, and Thor being my favorite Marvel character. Now,
wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, Thor's my favorite. The guy that I've just been reading and, like, has been going up there as well, it's kind of like a 1A, 1B situation, is Captain America.
Nice.
Because for me, I mean, I didn't know anything about him, but, you know, seeing kind of like his, like, who he was, I was more, I guess you could say, Team Cap during Civil War.
Same.
Yeah, so I agreed more with his principles. And then, you know, then he died. Then you go into the amazing Ed Brubaker with Bucky Barnes as Cap. Like, that entire run, which is highly recommended. Look at this. Who would have thought we'll be talking all this Marvel? And positively. But but jumping into, like, the Brubaker, Bucky Barnes stuff, like, I loved it. Then, you know, Return to Cap. Like, I don't know. So Cap has kind of skyrocketed up there. But Thor, and then, I mean, I think Jason Aaron just cemented everything.
Yeah.
Now I will say that I don't know if it's just lack of time or I just don't want to make the time. I've like stopped reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Even Jason Aaron's like great stuff. So it's one of those things that, I mean, I know I'm not going to buy it, but I'm willing to buy it on an app like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that's, for me, that's why I like the Marvel Unlimited and even the DC Unlimited. There's so much content. So much content. And if I can own it all, if I could own it all, I would. I really would, you know, just to have those great stories. But being able to sample it here, you know, read a book on the Marvel Unlimited app or the DC Universe app and be like, okay, you know, because the really cool thing with the DC Universe app, I'm reading, I believe, Green Arrow, from like back in 2001, and at the very end of the
is that like Kevin Smith?
Yeah, I will admit I'm not liking the Kevin Smith stuff. Like, I'm liking the story, but the dialogue is kind of weird. I don't really like it. I'm trying to push past it to get to.
Well, I think it's one of those things that you have to like embrace it being 2001.
Yeah. That's definitely something that I have to get used to.
There's very few books, even in classics, that still hold.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's what makes them really special, that they can, you know, they can go through time. But then there's other ones where it's definitely showing its age. And sometimes reading those older books, it's kind of like watching a movie and you see a flip phone. You're like, what the hell? I haven't seen that in forever.
Yeah. 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 And, but at the end of each issue, they actually tell you the volumes that it's in. So for me, I think that's really cool, because if I really like, you know, an arc, I can be like, okay, I'm going to look on Amazon to see if I can find that volume and purchase it. And then, you know, I have that, you know, forever, basically. I don't know if Marvel has been doing that. I haven't been paying attention to the last few pages. But, you know, it gives you an idea of what you really like and what you can actually, you know, purchase as far as, you know, wanting to own.
Now, yeah. does the Marvel Unlimited app, and we will jump into The Walking Dead, is just, again, this is quarantine life. I mean, it's just going to be a little bit more freeform.
I haven't on been top able of that, to talk to Mark for like 2 weeks. I really want to talk to him, guys.
Yeah, we're just conversing. Today, we're doing life. We're doing life together. And this is just conversation that happens to be recorded because we're self-indulging ourselves. But the one thing is, let's just say with Marvel Unlimited, for somebody like me that knows nothing about it, if I am interested in wanting to read a story, do they guide you if there are tie-ins? Or is those one of those things that you might have to be a little...
own research. So when you open the app and you pick a movie, if you pick a book, it'll tell you immediately underneath. Like, so I'm opening up right now. I'm going to open up to what I'm currently reading, which is X-Men Deadly Class. It says right below series you might like. It'll show you some other suggestions, and it'll also say keep reading the series, and it'll give you everything that is connected to the series.
Okay, so, so if it's connected, that's cool, because it's just one of those things, like, for example, I mean, I don't remember if there was anything connected, but I know that in my early days of reading, besides Thor, X-Men was like one of my favorite reads.
Yeah.
I loved, you know, the whole House of M. What was it?
Well, see, that's my mistake. Was I said, hey, what are some good Daredevil stories? I asked a couple of friends. They're like, oh, Ed Brubaker. And also, if you want to read Ed Brubaker, read his Deadly Genesis book. And I was like, okay. Well, that takes place after the freaking X-Men versus the Avengers, because, you know, this is after Scarlet Witch said no more mutants.
Yeah.
So I haven't read that story.
Mm.
So I'm getting a little bit of a tease for all that, and I'm kind of disappointed in myself in reading that before, or reading this before that. So, you know, as far as that goes, it doesn't say like, hey, before you read this, you may want to check this. Like, it doesn't tell you that kind of thing, but it will show you what is connected, at least.
Okay. Okay, so that makes sense. So that's the thing, because I remember, I mean, again, I don't remember the names of, like, the stories, but I just know that, I mean, you had, like, House of M, I think you had, like, Decimation, I think there was, like, Utopia, then there was, like, I remember there was something where I guess there was only, like, 290 or mutants left, Extinction or something like, there were so many stories, I was like, man, like, X-Men is just really good. Now, I don't know what hardcore fans think of those stories. Maybe they don't like it. But since when you know nothing about it, it's just, to me, it was a very interesting story, and it was fun to follow along.
Oh, yeah. Like, I one of my, I can tell you right now, the very first X-Men book that I bought was, well, I bought two comics. One of them was, I believe, issue number 4 of Geoff Johns' Teen Titans run.
Okay.
Or not even issue 4. I think it was Teen Titans number 12. It was a cover where, like, Raven was engulfing the rest of the Teen Titans into her cloak.
Okay.
I can't remember. Like, I remember the cover to the T. And then also, there was an X-Men, like New Mutants book that was like X-Men Academy or something like that was also like released the same day. Those were the very first
two
books.
Wait, X-Men Academy, is that like with Wolverine when he was doing the school?
No, well, it might have been.
I think Chris Bachalo was the artist.
That sounds familiar.
And it was, oh man, this is what happens when you have a lack of Marvel knowledge. Is there like a Hellfire Club or something? And there's like a kid that's like a Marvel version of Damien that I guess he has like another school as well, and I guess he's trying to ruin it. Hellfire Club? I don't know. Anybody so, that's... If you guys know what I'm talking about, let me know. Okay, new X-Men. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I think the one
that
I have
is the cover. Like, as soon as I typed in X-Men New Mutant X Academy, and that's the very first cover that came up. That is the first comic. That's the first Marvel comic I bought with my own money. And that was back in... Gosh. I don't even know when this book was released. It was volume 2, number 1.
My first Marvel comic that I have ever purchased... 2004. Issue 1 of Civil War.
Nice.
That's,
now see,
that's
Civil
right
War,
when I jumped on.
I would be interested to see how the Marvel Unlimited app gets you to read Civil War, because...
Yeah, that's
that
what I mean. Like, if you wanted to do
tie-ins.
That. Because every pretty much... I mean... I know, like, Cable and Deadpool, Spider-Man, because Spider-Man had a... His story was pretty big, because that's where you had a lot of the influence of Tony to out himself.
Yeah.
And then when he decided to, like, change his mind, I think they wanted to capture him. But now he had, like, the Iron Spider suit. Fantastic Four. Yeah, I mean, it was... I don't know. So it's one of those things where... But I'm one of those, I love doing research. Research is one of my favorite things to do, so I don't mind if I got to do the reading order and find it myself. I was just curious if the app
same
did that for you.
I really like, you know, especially being able to go on and read these characters and learn them for the first time, being like, okay, well, this had to lead up to something, so let's see what it comes afterward, what comes out before, and... You know, one of my big things for 2020 was reading a lot more Marvel. And I know I'm sticking to 3 books now, but I do want to... I don't want to overload myself and be like, I'm going to read 10 books at a time. So, I am trying to pick some being, like, miniseries while others being ongoing. So that way I can...
How about this? I'll get Marvel Unlimited.
Okay.
And we'll do a Marvel book for next week.
Oh, snap.
And
you
the
heard
reason,
it here first, guys.
Marcus, I got it, man. I'm open.
Let's be honest. A lot of these people that are still listening to Comic Book Legion, they know you from your Nation of Nerds days, where you were reading like 50 books a week.
Oh
so.
My god, that was see, like that was so much fun, but that was really tough because although we would rank our top 10, I mean, you have to. It's you're not only reading 10 books; you're reading maybe 25 books, and then figuring out. And deliberating, like, hey, what are the 10 that we're going to talk about?
Yeah.
So it was tough. I mean, it was a lot of fun, but oof, this is, it was exhausting. But I will say this, because right now, what I was not aware with Amazon, which makes sense, is that Amazon right now, even though you have Prime, Amazon is now putting, like, priority on certain things and making sure that their drivers are really... more, you know, doing the 2-day shipping and honoring it for really more of the essentials.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I did not know this, but when I purchased, I purchased Power Rangers. I know nothing about Power Rangers, but you know what? I'm Team Clay. I'm Team Clay, and Clay likes the Power Rangers, so you know what? I'm going to get the Power Rangers.
I have a really good story for when we finally start reading that one. That one's going to be fun.
Now the one that you told me is not the one I really wanted. I was more interested in the Kyle Higgins just because I remember Shattered Grid had really cool covers.
Yeah.
I don't know what the story's about. The story probably sucked or it was great, but it was, I don't know. I wouldn't know. But because you got me, you had me by the one.
He doesn't mean it, Tony. He doesn't mean it.
Again, I don't know. I'll read it. I'm a huge Kyle Higgins fan. Kyle Higgins is one of those guys that I would have loved to have taken over Batman when King left.
Yeah.
Because I'm a huge... So, yes. But the one you got me was by, like, Parrot. something it was Parrott and
Ryan Parrott and
Ryan Parrott
and the artist,
the Dan legendary Mora. Daniel Mora. So, So that one as well. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going on this IDW thing. I'm doing it. So I got Transformers. And then I'm like, you know what? IDW. Guess what? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So I got them. But they're not going to come until like 3 weeks.
That
so in the meantime, let's do some Marvel.
Yeah. I am totally down for it. You pick the book, and I will sit down and read it now. But let's go ahead.
Spider-Man Back in Black.
Oh, you're a monster. You're a monster.
Dude. I love that story. I thought,
you're a monster.
I think JMS, from everything I've read of Spider-Man, I would die on that hill saying that JMS has written the best Spider-Man story in a long time. Like, best Spider-Man. I understand why people don't like, because of the whole, was it Brand New Day or One More Day?
Yeah.
Which one was it? Brand New or One More?
That one for Back in Black was it Brand New Day? Was it that long ago?
I don't know if it was Brand New Day or One More Day, because there's a lot of days.
Yeah.
So I don't know which one it is. But
I'd have
for
to
me,
go back. I can't.
Yeah, but for me, I mean, I liked it. I understood. I liked the stakes. Like, that's a book that legitimately had stakes, and it had repercussions for a very long time. Even till this day, I haven't been reading it, Spider-Man lately, but for a long time, I mean, I feel like just with the beginning of Nick Spencer's run is when you kind of started seeing, like, classic Peter and MJ again.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on now.
No, that is true. You know, that was one of the biggest things that he wanted to do, is he wanted to bring back Mary Jane and Peter Parker. The only thing is, recently, in a lot of recent books, you haven't seen them together. Like, you've maybe seen, like, a panel or two of
is
them.
Is MJ still, like, a big factor with Tony?
No, not anymore.
Or was that just like a minor arc?
That was, you know, a minor arc a couple years ago. But now, you know, since his run, Spencer's run, she has been, you know, living with Peter. They're a thing. But it's just, like I said, he has been, like, and it's good. He's making, like, progress on his story, kind of. I say progress with quotations. But the whole Mary Jane and Peter thing, it's maybe a panel or two where you actually get to see them together. So it's not really focusing on them. So
Okay, so how about
this? It's a win-win or lose-lose, however you want to look at it.
All right, this is a story that I've really wanted to read. And this is kind of like more of a contained story. So how about, I don't know, if this is not on Unlimited, let me know. Spider-Man Life Story.
That one... It might be a little too recent, but let me double check. Okay, it was a monthly book, so we may get to read like the first few. But let's check it out.
Because I'm trying to see here if maybe on... Because that's one of the stories that I've really been wanting to read, and I hear so many people have like recommended it to me. It was, the publisher was October 23rd, 2019. Publication date, October
23rd, 2019. Spider-Man...
Life Story.
F-F-L. Wow. I don't think it's on here yet. Wait, what was the date?
October 23rd.
Yeah, so we won't get the first issue until October 23rd of 2020.
Crap. Okay. All right, I'll figure one out.
Yeah.
I'll figure one out. I got you. Okay. I got you.
All right, cool.
See, I mean, I would say like Ultimate Spider-Man, but I don't need a whole Bendis thing. So I'm not gonna do that to you. So in the meantime, let's jump into briefly here and just kind of talk about a book again that's near and dear to me. And you know, Clay mentioned to me that he was reading it, and I'm like, dude, I am more than happy to dive right back into this world, because I'll always be. I mean, I'm willing to talk about this book all the time, which is, again, The Walking Dead, and this being Volume 2.
Yeah, so if you want to hear our conversation about Volume 1, I do have it over at Fanboy Comics Podcast. I believe it was Episode 2 of the season that we're doing with interviews, and I did title it Walking Dead Volume 1. So go ahead and check that out. But now we are going to be talking about Volume 2 here on this podcast because, like we said, we have nothing else to talk about. Now, what were your thoughts going through this book again?
It's, I don't know, man. It's one of those, for me, I guess it's just like when you know the entire story, like going back to from where it is in the beginning, it's, I don't know, it's refreshing. It's always like one of those things that, I don't know. I don't know if this is just like from being like the youth pastor kind of stuff in me, that it's like whenever you are, you know, whenever you feel like you're in a rut, whenever you feel like you're being down, it's go back to when you first fell in love with something. Because it's always good, I think, to have like those moments where you look back and, it, you know, you kind of just realize like where you were at that time and how you felt and see how much you've grown. So it's one of those things that in my eyes, I'm looking at this and I remember how young I was in my comic book reading experience. And I am, and I guess you just never realize when you're, for example, watching a Tom Brady or a Derek Jeter or something, you don't realize when you're watching greatness until it's over. And then when it's over and you have other people tell you that this is like one of the greatest stories ever made, it's a, I guess when you're just part of it, it just feels like it's normal. So going back to it, I don't know why, I'm reading this and it's a lot of fun because I'm looking at this and I've been listening to a lot of Office Ladies.
Yeah.
So I feel very like Jenna Fisher where I'm just like, fast fact number one, this is the first volume where Toni Moore is no longer the artist. And
dude,
now
I was
been introduced to Charlie Adlard.
I already miss Moore's art. Like, because I've just recently, like, I have read this. I think I read all the way up to issue, like, 112. Honestly, I think. And going back to this, it's a little fresh in my mind now that I've read issue, or volume one. Now I'm reading volume two. And I'm like, man, like, I really miss the art from volume one. And this art shows freaking Carl. This is only a few months or a few weeks after what happened in the end of the first volume. And Carl already looks like he aged 4 years. Like, that's the one thing that bothers me a little bit.
I think the one thing that gets me is you can tell that this is Charlie Adlard's first time on the book. Because when you see the characters that are still alive, when you see how Rick looks, especially in this book, when you get introduced to Maggie, even when you look at Glenn, I mean, I still remember Glenn from issue 100 right before the head smash. I mean, they look completely different. And I think it's because Charlie did not have, you know, he didn't have the voice for them yet.
Yeah.
And also like the look, because they're, yes, I mean, the looks obviously are going to change, but I mean, your facial features shouldn't be changing that much. And there's characters here that from when you see them later on, I mean, I would say maybe one of the closest ones is Andrea. And very, like, specifically, like, the freckles. Like, Andrea looks pretty identical to how she looked before she passed. But besides that, I'm like, whoa, this book, like, is this really Charlie Adlard? But so that kind of took me some time to get used to. But besides that, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the book. I mean, it's nice to see characters from where they were, where you kind of know the finished product. So like one of the moments that really got me is, you know, just kind of like skipping through the book is when they meet all the, you know, Herschel and his family, and Herschel's introducing the family members, and you see Maggie, and Maggie's kind of like having that first conversation with Glenn, and Glenn is really just talking about his, you know, he's like, he's lonely, he's seeing all these people getting together, and, you know, it's just,
everybody's pairing up. Yeah,
they're pairing up, and she's just very, very deliberately, hey, I'll boink you. And I was like, whoa, Maggie,
you want to Netflix and chill? I'll Netflix and chill with you.
Yeah, so it was one of... Is that what that means?
Yes, that's what that means.
Boomer! I had no idea what... Luckily, I've never used the phrase, but I had no idea what Netflix and chill means.
Wow. God, Mark. Yeah. Boomer alert.
I swear, I'm only 34. I swear. Wow. Okay.
Oh, that was awesome. That was awesome. But yeah, you know, I really enjoyed that. I, of course, enjoyed the first appearance of, who was it?
Tyrese.
That was big. And his daughter and Chris. Yeah.
Tyrese was such a great character. I mean, I didn't necessarily like him, how he was portrayed in the show. Uh-huh. But Tyrese, to me, was the TV show version of, like, Daryl Dixon. Although Daryl on the show is very, like, moody and quiet.
Yeah.
I thought Tyrese was, like, one of my favorite characters, like, at that time. And so it's just one of those moments that it's...
You know,
he's
a very level-headed character, even for somebody who was a father to a much older daughter.
Yes.
And, you know, his first interaction with Rick, you know, hey, we're just trying to find some food. And when Rick immediately says, hey, you know, we have enough room in this RV if you want to, you know, crash in here so that way you stay warm. He's like, we'll take that abandoned car. And then later that morning, you know, the next morning, he does say, hey, I apologize for, you know, refuting your offer, but we just don't know, you know. And they're being cautious and they're being verbal about it also.
Well, and he expressed the reason why with the incident with his daughter and the older man.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things that it kind of establishes, I don't know if it's like a foreshadowing of just how just some of the best people that you knew and people that you thought were very kind, when bleep hits the fan, you really have no idea. And that's kind of like what the theme of volume 2 was, which was with the revelation of just how nuts Shane was on issue 6, the last issue of volume 1.
Oh my gosh.
You just don't know who people really are until, I guess, they're thrown in this very adversarial environment. So, I mean, you kind of get, you see that throughout all the 6 issues that end up being read. But I did enjoy and I appreciated Tyrese, because even though, yes, he did mention, hey, like, he killed the guy, like, it was one of those things, like, he was upfront about it.
Yeah.
And he hated, and the thing is, like, it didn't even bother him, but I don't know why. It's like, to me, that didn't feel like a monster.
Yeah, no, he said, I don't feel bad for killing him. I feel bad for not feeling bad.
Yeah.
For not killing him, or for killing him. And so, like, you see the evolution of man when, you know, like you said, when bleep hits the fan. And we, like, here, talking about Shane, you know, the very first opening scene to this volume is him and Lori getting, you know, a little too friendly.
They're chilling and watching Netflix. I figured I had to say it like an older person,
But, you know, that is really foreshadowing what we learn in the middle of this book, because Lori, you know, pulls Rick aside. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I almost forgot his name. He pulls Rick aside and just tells him straight up, like, really quickly, very blunt, hey, I'm pregnant. And you're like, oh no.
Dun, dun, dun.
And, of course, she immediately tells everybody. It's not like, hey, there's no secrets in our group kind of thing. It's just, hey, I'm pregnant. I wanted to tell Rick before I told anybody else.
I'm pregnant. And this is the situation. People don't know how to...
The reactions from everybody are, like, great. I love it. Like, oh, Jesus. Like, is that really smart? Like, is that the best thing to do in a time like this? And... You know, Rick is very level-headed about it. You know, hey, we'll meet that hurdle when we get there, is what he is.
And then you have, in the meantime, you have, like, the meddling Dale, which I understand his reasons, because he's trying to bring it to light, but his way of saying it is, and you kind of get it at the end, because at first I think he didn't deliver it correctly with Rick.
Yeah.
And Rick is not stupid. So, yes, he knows that this is potentially not his kid.
Yeah.
But secondly, I think that he did it better with Lori when he was, hey, listen, I'm not judging. I'm just saying this guy is our rock. We need somebody like him to lead us. If not, we're doomed. So she's just like, if it is Shane's, take it to the grave. because we can't lose him, because he knew, like, I think Dale was looking at this information as like a big picture, like, hey, this is a family thing, and this, you know, this specific detail can truly destroy this family dynamic.
You know, and I really hated Dale for that, reading this again, because, like, I understand, you know, to each their own, but there's some things that just don't need to be said, you know? Kind of like how he's trying to, persuade Lori, hey, things can just be left unsaid. Same thing can go for him, you know? The same thing could be said about, hey, you don't have to open your mouth to Rick or Lori. And just let it go, and everybody, you know, be fine with everything. But I understand tensions will rise, things will get out of hand, and so he probably just needed to get it off his chest.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was doing it, although it's very annoying, and he came off very annoying doing it. I understand why he's doing it, because he's looking out for the whole team.
Yeah.
The thing is that I feel that Dale should have already understood, by his conversation with Rick, that Rick kind of knows that this is potentially not his kid.
Yeah.
So I think, like, Rick already knows that it's probably not his. So it's not something that I feel like if Lori mentioned something, I think, like, it wouldn't surprise him. The surprise already was the announcement of the pregnancy.
Yeah.
So, and you also got when Dale was talking to Rick, which was that he kind of got the feeling that, based on what Shane was saying, that Shane was in love with her. So you can kind of see where maybe something happened. So the part with Lori, that part, okay. I don't feel like that needed to be said. I think, like, once it was done with Rick, it was fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, I mean, it is. But, you know, going into the story, I mean, this is kind of like the theme, and one thing that I loved about The Walking Dead is that they always take you through, like, every volume. It kind of takes you through different settings. So, I think the longest time you see them in a place is probably later on during, like, Alexandria. But even with Alexandria, they introduce you to, like, the kingdom and also the hilltop. Here, I mean, the first thing that they do is they introduce you to the Waltshire Estates. They find their first place. They believe that they can find their...
Yeah.
They find their new... this could be potentially our new home. You start to feel some hope and optimism. There's my DC reference, because I needed to throw it in there. some hope and optimism. And, you know, it's one of the ones you're like, oh, cool. You know, like, things are starting to get better for them. Oh, well, because of the snow, you get one wrinkle that, hey, these walkers, which I was really thrown off that they kept on saying zombies. Because yeah. I know later on they changed that. I mean, you did see Rick at a time say roamers,
yeah.
But yeah, just seeing zombies on the Walking Dead book, it just sounds weird. It reads weird.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so seeing that, okay, they believe there's their new beginning. You got the wrinkle that the roamers, walkers at this time, they don't do well in cold weather. It started to warm up. You see the sign, dead, do not enter, nice little callback to issue one. Then you're seeing all the roamers coming in later on. We lose another member of the family, which is Alan's wife,
Donna.
Yes. And it's one of those things, like, and Kirkman does it so well, because he makes you like her, because she shows, like, empathy and, like, happiness towards seeing how Dale and Andrea, although Andrea lost her sister, in the first volume, you see, like, hey, you know what? Even in dark times, you can still see that people can find each other, get together, be happy. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a nice little moment of character. And I think, like, they try to do those things to make you like somebody. And, of course, like, three panels later, she's freaking getting her head ripped off by a walker. But that's Robert Kirkman for you. And that just gives you an idea of what this book is and the stakes that it has. So, yeah, it's very quickly this leaves, and it takes us to Herschel's farm, where...
Well, the
for
one
many
thing
people.
That was really disappointing for the group was when they went to that neighborhood. Excuse me. I have a little bit of allergies in here, and I feel like I need to sneeze. But the...
Whoa. Sneeze?
Yeah, exactly.
What?
No, but in the house that they decided to stay in, they found a crap ton of...
Oh, food. That's right.
Of canned food, because that was one of the things... was that they were running low. And they had to leave without gathering any of that. And in my mind, for me, being the person that I am, as soon as I see all that stuff, I would have moved. Well, see, I don't know. I feel like because they thought this was going to be a place where they could stay, I can understand why they kept it in the house. But in my mind, I'm like, why couldn't she just put a little bit of it in the RV, you know? But sure. I understand now. But they even mentioned that right after they leave the estates, they say, man, you know, if only we could have grabbed any of that food. And here, right before they leave, Tyrese is looking for his daughter and her boyfriend, Chris.
Oh,
and
gosh.
They're trying to get it on while everybody is freaking running away from zombies. And Tyrese is like, we're not doing this right now. Like, get on some freaking clothes. We gotta run.
And they were watching Downton Abbey.
we quickly find out through this, though, that something with Tyrese's daughter and her boyfriend just isn't quite right. We see their attitudes quickly change. Chris has something completely against Tyrese. You completely see it. It's very present in the way he talks to him, in the way he talks about him, you know, away from Tyrese. And there is a little tease at the very end, or near the end, but they do meet Herschel and everybody else because when they go hunting, Carl gets shot in the back. And
damn it, Otis.
I, for some reason, did not remember that. I don't know why.
I mean, I knew we were getting to that point because the thing is that with this, I kind of remember just a lot of, like, you know, also watching the show. So I always knew that season two was entirely on Herschel's farm.
Yeah.
So I knew that first season, I mean, the first episode of season two was, you know, them being on the highway knowing that they can't push through. And then all those walkers come, then they're trying to look for food. And then, yeah, Otis ends up shooting Carl. So I was like, okay, like I knew this part was coming. What I will say that I forgot about was just how quickly, because yes, Herschel was able to save Carl. Yes, they were able to meet each other. You know, he's like, you can stay here as long as your son is recovering. I thought for some reason, I didn't remember that Herschel had the same motivations that he did during the TV show, which was that he never killed the walkers.
Yeah.
Because he believed that something could be done and he wanted to help them. So I forgot about that. I thought that was only a TV show plot point. But I also forgot about just how quickly we were actually in Herschel's farm. Just because you were in it for 10 episodes in the TV show. And you're like, man, when are they going to move along? Like, when are we going to the prison?
Yeah.
Because that's like what the TV show did. And I kind of wanted to get to the point where we got badass Rick. Because at this time, Rick was still like a passive leader.
Yeah.
I needed what I read in the comics, and I needed badass Rick. And that's kind of like when that was happening. So I guess as a reader, I was very impatient with season two. But overall, I mean, yeah, like I didn't remember that Glenn, because this is when Glenn and Maggie, their relationship began. It started, they professed their love, and I completely forgot that that Glenn stayed at Herschel's farm. So I kind of like knowing that I'm going back to this and I'm remembering things that I completely forgot about that I thought were maybe minor details.
Yeah.
So I've been enjoying the ride of rereading it, and now I'm also excited to go and kind of see the progression of Charlie Adlard, because I want to know, like, when are we getting, because you do get signature pages, because Charlie Adlard has always been known for having like one signature, like his version of like a splash page where you just see the beautiful inks, like everything is very detailed and it looks like, whoa, this is like 4K, even though it's black and white.
Yeah.
You could really tell the enhancement. So he's definitely, that has to be like a signature of his. But besides that, I want to know where it goes. And I'm just here, I'm watching, like, I'm looking at Carol. And I know, well, no, you mentioned that you're, like, issue in the hundreds, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know about what happens with Carol and the crazy way that she dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's got to be Volume 3. Volume 3, because that's going to touch, what, issues, what, 13 to 18, maybe? Oh, yeah. So we're going to be, like, one away from meeting Michonne.
Yeah.
Because Michonne is 19, the governor is 27, I think Abraham is 50.
Uh-huh.
Jesus... I don't remember. Oh, I don't remember.
I bought that blind bag of Jesus's first appearance. I can't remember what it was though. Was it like 70? No. Was it that late? 78?
It could be. It could be.
But yeah,
and I know like in the middle there, you know, you get introduced to like Aaron and Eric, and you know, there's a bunch of characters and Rosita. Yeah. Well, Rosita and Eugene is with Abraham, but it's nice. Like I'm getting excited, like jumping into like, oh, what are we going to meet the characters again? Cause I want to know like where they were to how the story ended.
Yeah.
And I'm still not over the fact that this book ended this book. Cause to me, I feel
it is
this
crazy
book...
because I was looking at the stuff on Comixology. It's official. They have everything complete, like collected now as far as,
yeah,
like,
I know.
I just feel volumes and stuff.
Yeah,
so
there was something.
It's the done deal, and so I don't know if this is. I could see Kirkman coming back, maybe in like 5 years, to tell like one character story. I don't think he'll jump in like all in.
I could see him doing one of those things that
What was it? He did like a one-off story for Negan, right? He did.
Yes.
I could see him doing that for another character. Maybe.
It's one of those things that I don't know why I feel like I read somewhere, where it looks like I think he was having like some contractual things. I don't know if it was with the TV show or if it actually had to do with the book.
There was rumors that because it's still on AMC. There was rumors that him and AMC were in a little bit of a lawsuit, and they were going to move the show to Amazon. That was something that was very much talked about. But I guess Kirkman basically said, you know what, fine. If y'all won't do this, then I'm ending the book. And
yeah, so that's why. The ending makes no sense. How do you go from, like, Rick dying, spoiler alert, Rick dies, and then, like, one issue later you have a pissed off Carl, and Carl's going to the other governor of that, I forgot what it's called, that paradise place that they were living in, and he's completely pissed, and I am going to live my father's legacy, and then next issue is, oh, yeah, we're done, this is, like, 10 years later. What? No, this is baloney. So, that's why I was like, nah. So this, to me, this one wrecked me, man, when I found out that this book was ending, because this, to me, has been my constant, you know?
Uh-huh.
This is kind of like, for comic books, how I feel with, like, Tom Brady leaving the Pats. It's been a constant for so long that I'm like, no, I wasn't ready for this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It was definitely a surprise to me when we got the news, because I think I was still working at the comic shop. Or maybe. No, I don't think I was. I might have just left the comic shop when that news hit. But it's, you know, have you been reading his other book?
You know, I was reading, I've read all of Outcast. I loved Outcast.
Uh-huh.
Outcast is a book I definitely recommend if you're looking for a book to want to read. It's really good. I mean, unless you're not a fan of, like, exorcisms.
No, I've seen a little bit of Outcast's like art and stuff. Didn't they actually make a show out of it?
Yeah, I've never seen it though.
Neither have I.
I think it's on Showtime or something. I think that's why I haven't. I think it's on Stars. Maybe.
I think it's on Stars.
Yeah,
but
so,
there's another book recently that he like just Oblivion Song. Oblivion Song.
Oblivion Song. You know what? I read like the first four issues and I wasn't digging it.
Really?
It
very much had a Walking Dead vibe to it.
It did.
Now, it has nothing to do with, like, zombies and stuff, but it felt very Kirkman, and so I was interested in reading it. I think I fell off at, like, issue 10, to be honest. So I don't know
it does have his style. I think it's just sometimes, like, you know, I kind of take it as maybe I fell into, like, those fans that, you know, like, Linkin Park had, like, Hybrid Theory. They had, like, yeah. Meteora. Everybody loved it. Then yeah. they started going a little electronica.
And then they went Transformers, yep.
And then people were just like, where's our rap rock? Where's our angry music? And they're
I say Transformers like I'm making fun of them. I still own every single album they made, so.
I mean, I think that's the last CD I have, that one. I call it the period song, just because somebody in one of my cousins, I think, called Bleed It Out.
I actually said that too. I've said that. Okay. I don't know so if it was with you, but...
No. This is a long time ago.
No. It's very disgusting, and for those of you who are listening that get offended by this, I apologize. But one of my friends back in high school said, if you listen very closely, they could very much be talking about a period, and I was really grossed out by it, but I laughed super hard.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think you said it. It was like high school. I mean, we were very... Well, I'm still immature. But I can't even defend myself on that. But I would like to say that I wouldn't, you know what? I probably still would have thought of that if I just heard the song today. Anyways, so that's a weird tangent, but you know how people work, like, complaining. I don't know if it's a complaint. I think it's just, I was used to my version of Kirkman is Invincible. My version of Kirkman.
See, I
is
still
Walking
want to read
Dead.
All of that too.
Yeah. Or I mean, we could do that one if you want, but you don't have unlimited. So
yeah,
I figured let's just do unlimited. I'm okay with doing the, and then you have, you know, like Outcast. That to me is Kirkman. Uh-huh. So I don't know. Maybe it's the no, because Ryan Ollie. I mean, Invincible was like a very bright looking book, and Oblivion. So I don't know. I guess I just didn't care about the multiple dimensions and the. Brothers going there to try to find his brother that was lost, and you have like the weird goopy aliens. Like, I think that's it. I just don't care about like really weird alien stuff.
Uh huh.
And I feel like when I'm reading, like, for example, like a Geoff Johns Green Lantern, I don't get much of it, but I'm getting a lot of it in Grant Morrison stuff, and I just don't care. That's why I can watch Star Wars and enjoy it, but I'm not a huge fan because I. The alien-y kind of
you,
stuff.
You
I'm
don't
just
pay
not
attention
a...
to the races and all of that stuff when it comes
yeah,
to Star
Wars.
Yeah,
there's just too much going on.
See, and I feel like I'm the opposite. Like, if I... Now, I will... I'm going to, like, be a little hypocritical and contradicting here. But whenever I see a new race and Green Lantern, if it's cool enough and if there's a cool enough story with it, I'm like, ooh, I want to learn more about them. But then if, like, DC were to be like, okay, we're making our own book based off of this guy, I'd be super mad. Because, like, no, I want more characters with my DC characters, you know? But it's just, I remember back in the day, like, it was those encyclopedias. Those DC encyclopedias or those Marvel encyclopedias where you could learn more about the universe without having to read 17 different issues. Like, yeah. Those were awesome. And I wish... DC would possibly do more of that, or Marvel, you know, regardless. I think that those would help without having to push so much content, because those other pushing of that content is just a money grab for those 17 other issues to learn about one race that isn't going to be important in 5 years, you know?
True.
So. I don't know. I really enjoyed this volume. I'm enjoying my reread of The Walking Dead and to hopefully catch up with everybody else soon. But, yeah, I like the fact that we are going to hit the prison. You know, crap is really going to start hitting the fan pretty soon with the book. Like
you can say it, Clay. I know you feel all weird saying bleep. I just don't curse it. I just don't curse. You could say it.
Shit's going to hit the fan. And it's gonna be awesome. I'm kind of waiting for the badass Rick and for the badass moments And I know this is all leading up to it, but I'm just like, come on, come on. Because, like, even, like, the small little, you know, action scene we saw with the barn in this volume, I was like, oh, man, like, this is awesome. Like, we're getting to it. We're getting to that, you know, kind of stuff. And I also forgot that, you know, Herschel was very pacifist with the zombies or with the walkers. But I did not, like, at all remember that one of his kids was one of the zombies that he had in there.
That yeah, was... like those little those there are a lot of details that you would see that I missed on, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what other ones we do whenever we do decide to do volume 3.
Uh-huh.
Although next week I'll choose a Marvel book, and if anybody that's listeners, if you do have Marvel Unlimited, shoot out some Marvel ideas. And we would, we'll definitely look it over and read it. So you can either reach me at Mark Reads Comics or do it at the CB_Legion page, because either Clay or myself will receive it. Or Clay, where can they find you?
You can find me at Fanboy Clay on Twitter and on Instagram. You can find the show Fanboy Comics Podcast at Twitter as well, at Fanboy Comics Pod. But also one little cool thing that I did, you know, with my time with, you know, being quarantined and stuff, I think I sent it to you. I did a 2.5-minute audio drama with the first 8 pages of, Kyle Higgins', Nightwing from New 52. It was, I did music. I added music to it. I added sound effects. I did it all with my voice. It took me 3.5 hours to do 2.5 minutes. So it was very fun. It is something that I genuinely want to do with learning how to podcast and doing all this stuff. It's a goal of mine to actually.
Haley Circus.
Yeah.
Wait, did you, is it live?
I added it into a small part of one of my episodes that I just recently dropped. I can tell you
okay.
Which one, it's the
If it's one of your shows, then I'm gonna end up listening to it anyways. But
yeah, it's the episode called "Hawkeye Never Misses." It was published on the 30th, so just a couple days ago. But you'll listen to me talk about what we're gonna be talking about in that episode, and then I play it as a small preview, and then I start talking about the books. So definitely listen to it. I had a lot of fun doing it. I accidentally started that project at like 2 a.m. and then finished at around 5:30 in the morning.
Of course you did, because you don't freaking sleep.
Well, no. So I was super tired and I was, you know, going to go to bed, and I was like, I want to try this. And it felt like I was drinking an energy drink when all I was drinking was water. Like, I was that excited about doing that.
So you
project.
Had like the Michael Jordan secret sauce?
Yes.
From like Space Jam? Okay.
I was full of adrenaline and like just working on passion, to be completely honest, whenever I did that. So it was really fun. And if you guys could give me a little bit of feedback, if you guys could, you know, give me suggestions on what I could be doing better, let me know. But yeah, that was really, really
fun.
You
can do better at speaking.
Yes, I definitely can. I definitely All right. can.
Well, Clay, I would love to keep on chatting with you, but I really need to drop a deuce.
And I just woke up, so I need to go eat something. So I
awesome.
Will
so
see
on that
you,
note.
You and everybody else. We will talk to you guys next week.
See you later.
All right. See you later, man.